Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Road Trips, Navigating Life with Jesus. I'm Tyler Waugh, and today we are continuing our series on building a personal relationship with God. If I were to ask, you'd probably say that you wanted to study the Bible more. But where do you even begin? My guest today is here to help you with just that. John Fernandez is a house parent at the Tipton Children's Home and is a graduate of the Sunset International Bible Institute in Lubbock, Texas. Today on the show, we talk about the importance of studying Scripture, discerning the use of non-scriptural resources, and some practical ways we can learn to study the Bible better. Buckle up, everyone. This is Road Trips. John Fernandez, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Tyler.
Absolutely. So we're talking about studying Scripture as a way to build our personal relationship with God, and I wanted to have you on for this episode. So just for starters, I just want to ask, how do you go about studying Scripture? How do you approach studying Scripture? Because I think we talk about studying Scripture, a lot of Christians, a lot of well-meaning Christians want to study Scripture, but maybe they don't necessarily know how to go about doing that. So how do you approach studying Scripture?
First of all, and I don't want this to sound like just a, you know, a common answer or whatever, but, you know, I do pray about it. You know, James says, if any of you lack wisdom, ask God and he'll give it, but we can't doubt, you know, so my approach to studying Scripture is to ask God to let me glean from it, you know, let me get something out of it. But then after that, I have to find a purpose for studying. And what I mean by that is this, is that, is it a self-study or am I going to teach others? For example, am I going to go evangelize with this? You know, so I need to study the Scriptures that have to deal with evangelism. Am I going to teach a Bible class? Am I going to preach a sermon? And even in those two, you have to determine, well, who's my audience? Am I teaching to younger kids? Am I teaching to teens? Am I teaching to young adults? Am I teaching to older adults? But then if you're going to preach, you have to study and try to figure out, how am I going to let God's word reach everybody in the audience? Because you have such a mixed age. And so my approach, I guess, if you want to say it, it comes with purpose. I got to have purpose to approach it.
Yeah. I like that. And I think understanding your audience and understanding who you're going to be studying with, because, you know, if you're just studying with yourself, then you can just say, hey, well, what do I need? Because you know where your spiritual life is at. You know what your spiritual needs are in that moment. So if you were to just pray, hey, God, you know, show me something as I approach the Scripture. If there's anything I haven't noticed, let me see that. And then talking about, you know this, working with the children's home, there's things that certain age groups aren't ready for. You know, there's things that you probably can't teach a sixth grader what you can a 12th grader or a college student. And so approaching it through the lenses of different people is really important. And I mean, that's what the writers of Scripture did. I mean, they wrote to specific audiences of that time. They didn't write to us. Paul's letter to the church in Galatia is for that church. Obviously there's application for us, but it's written to that church. And I think understanding your audience, okay, who am I studying this for? That's a really good question. So we talk about daily Bible reading and we talk about study, and there are two different things. I think there is a place for just reading Scripture, meditating on it, of course. But I think studying it kind of helps us peel back the layers of Scripture and helps us kind of understand it better. So why is it important for us not to just read scripture, but to study it?
Well, we also can't deny the fact that we have to read it. You know, Paul tells Timothy to devote himself to public reading of scripture, exhortation, and teaching. However, studying is important because the way your question started. Why? We can repeat what we've learned. We can repeat what we've read. But somebody sometime, some point in your life is going to ask you, well, why? Why is this? Why is that? And I just think of it as like a parrot. A parrot can repeat everything that you say to them, you know, but ask a parrot why. And they're going to stand there and not be able to answer you. Well, we don't want to get caught like that, like the parrot. You know, if you're studying something or repeating something or telling somebody something, and they say, well, why did that happen? Or why is that? Or why does God this? Or why do we have to this? And let's give an answer and not just be a just because type answer. Let it be a truthful answer. And then maybe they'll open themselves up to wanting to know more because you're actually answering them. You know, we can give a lot of canned answers, like that's what I call them, you know, answers that when somebody asks about something, bam, you know, we're ready to answer it. But to meet their needs, just like you said, the letter to Galatians was written to the church at Galatia. And they had their certain needs. They had their struggles. Well, sure, the letter to the Corinthians might be able to relate to them, but Paul specifically wrote that letter to them and answered their needs. And so that's how we have to be. So studying scripture is so important than just reading it, because we don't want to be parrots. We want to be able to answer why.
Yeah, yeah, that's really good. And I think, you know, you're talking about, you know, giving an answer. I think it's important for us to realize, you know, another kind of component to the giving an answer is that the fact that, like, if we're not in the Word, studying the Word, you know, often, then we can run the danger of, I forget the verse, but the, you know, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. I think that's 2 Timothy. But, you know, you kind of run that danger, you know, and so you may hear something, and I think we'll talk about this later, and we don't really know how to discern whether that's ran through the lens of scripture. You know, maybe we just think that it sounds good and we're like, oh, well, that sounds good. But, you know, if we have that lack of study, then we can kind of run the danger of saying, well, whatever sounds good or whatever sounds most biblical, well, then that must be right. Or whatever I maybe agree with the most, then that's got to be right. And so studying it, I think, can also help us stay grounded when we see all these different thoughts and voices out there in the world and just in Christendom in general. It helps us stay grounded as to what is actually from God and what is that and what is not from God. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the better understanding, because we can, again, read what's before us, but there's so many different translations. But then when you go back, for example, given an idea of why study than just read it, when you go back to the original language and do a word study in itself, it can give such a more of an impact than just reading it in our English language, you know, because it what they said meant something. And it meant something to them, and they understood it. We're in a totally different era. We're in a different culture, you know, and so how does it really relate to us? And what was he really saying back then for us to understand it today? So that's all part of study also.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, every word of scripture is intentionally written, but also it was intentionally written, you know, to that group of people. And so, yeah, I think word studies are important. This is kind of off script, but where do you find those word studies? What are some resources that you use to find kind of more original meaning from text?
Well, you can go to Thayer's Concordance. You can go to Strong's. But this day and age, since everybody uses electronics, a good tool to use is eSword. And I can't remember if it's free or if there's a small charge, but you'll be looking at the King James Version, and then in that script, there'll be blue numbers next to it. And you click on that and it'll give you the Greek word or Hebrew word, and it'll give you its definition of what it is. I believe there's another tool out there called Blue Letter Bible that does basically the same thing, but those are tools that you can use. I mean, I'm no Greek scholar, but when you go through and understand that this word actually means this, then it kind of changes the way you look at scripture. It doesn't change scripture, but it changes the way you look at it because it has a different impact, a different meaning, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So just to switch gears, we're talking about, you know, kind of building that personal relationship with God. This is a loaded question, because I mean, I guess the answer would just be everything, but what does scripture reveal about God?
I would say it reveals his purpose, his very nature, his love, and his provisions. You know, a lot of people might say, or some people, let me correct myself, may say that the Bible is strictly a book of rules and regulations, but it's not. What it does is it shows how God loved us so much that he had a plan prepared before he even created man on how to bring us back to him. And so he doesn't just say, do this, do that. He tells you how to do it and why to do it. And so, I mean, that's just what I mean. His love was so great that not only did he create a plan, but he provided all things in the plan. And that's just who he is. God is love. And through that love in his word, it reveals who he is. It's just, I don't know. It's kind of hard to explain, like you said, a loaded question, but it's one of those that when you really look at it, it reveals so much about him. But I think above all, it reveals his love.
Yeah. I mean, the most quoted scripture ever, you know, John 3:16, it comes back to God's love. And I think that's important for us to realize for many reasons, is because, you know, this just came to mind, you know, so often we think about there's the Old Testament God and the New Testament God, and it's almost like they're two different gods, but really they're the same God. You know, God's love and his patience towards the Israelites, like, doesn't that sound kind of like his love and his patience that he's had towards us, or that he, you know, continues to have towards us? And so, yeah, I mean, it's everything, but, you know, when we say it reveals everything, it reveals love, because God is love. And I love the fact that you mentioned, you know, the plan of salvation is his plan for us to be reconciled to him before, you know, time. This was the plan. And really, it all points to his son, too, at the very center. I heard this quote and used it this past Wednesday night because I really like it. It's the Bible is a book about Jesus, and it says in the Old Testament that someone is coming, the Gospels say that someone is here, and then the New Testament says that someone is coming back. And so I really like that quote, that it all kind of centers around Jesus, but in you know, perfect unity, you know, it centers around Jesus, and it also centers around God and who he is. And so I think if we want to get to know God, then we read scripture. Of course, our life experiences, I think, can help us understand God. You know, the things we've been through, how we've seen God work in our lives, that can really, really do well for how we get to know God. But ultimately, I think we first know and understand God and who he is through scripture.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So my next question, I think, is important for us to kind of understand and to get a hold of. You have all these different resources that aren't just, you know, the plain old Bible, right? You have, you know, blogs, and you have books, and you have podcasts, you know. you have all these different, you know, avenues to kind of know God. But really, you know, it's not always checked by Scripture. It's not always ran through the lens of Scripture. And so, like we kind of talked about at the beginning, we've got to be careful of kind of who we're listening to, what we pay attention to. How should we discern using non-scripture resources? Because I think it's important for us to you know, obviously read Scripture, but there is a time and place for other resources, even though we kind of, you know, have to be careful with that. So how do we discern using those resources that aren't Scripture, if that makes sense?
Yeah. And I've heard it said, you know, eat the meat and spit out the bones. You know, so we can get knowledge from many different resources or sources. And again, just for knowledge. But Scripture is not just knowledge. It is a way of life. However, at the same time, say, for example, I mean, you played football here in town, so you would watch film, for example. You would see, what mistakes did we make? How can we get better? What did we do good? What works? What doesn't work? And I guess in a weird kind of way in my head, I guess that makes sense to like Scripture, because you're examining self. You're looking at yourself compared to what you're supposed to be doing. And then you would receive a scouting report, and these are the other teams, right? And so the other resources are like, okay, how can I use this to better myself in Scripture? Is knowing where they're coming from, knowing what they do, knowing what others think and believe. Because then, like I said before, you don't give canned answers. You're actually, how would you say it? You're almost catering, and my words are wrong, I know, but that's that idea. You're catering the Scripture to them that they need, or you're obtaining knowledge from other resources in order to reach others that you might not be able to, because you've never thought of it that way. And my wife, I'll just share this funny story, but my wife would sometimes get a little nervous because she'd catch me watching the Discovery Channel about the Knights Templars, or, you know, things like that, and documentaries on different things. And she's like, why are you watching those? I said, so when they come to me, or if I approach somebody like this, I know how to answer them. So, I mean, I don't know if that's really answering your question, but when we're discerning how to use other resources, again, eat the meat, spit out the bones, use what you can, and the rest of it, just leave it alone. But knowledge is good all around, and it can help you in many different ways.
Yeah. And I think the plus side, and you kind of hit on this, is that it can kind of, you know, not only help us understand where we're coming from, where they're coming from, but also it can help us say, you know, I've never thought about it that way. You know, when I'm, I don't know about you, but, you know, when I'm preparing a lesson, usually I'll listen to another lesson on that topic or on that scripture, because I realize that, you know, I'm not the expert by any means on that passage or topic. And I'm also, you know, I don't want to have such a narrow point of view that I only see what I think about this or what my thoughts are on this. I want to hear other people, you know, that I, you know, respect, and that, you know, and that I think, and that I know have a love for God and have a love for His Word. I want to hear their thoughts on it too. And I think that that's important. You know, and another thing too is, I've heard that phrase, you know, swallow the meat and spit out the bones, because there is, you know, some good in a lot of those resources. And hopefully, you know, we're strong enough in our faith that we can maybe hear something and say, okay, I know that that's not, that doesn't align with Scripture. That doesn't align with God. I know that that's the case. But there's also some really good stuff in here that I can use and that I can take home. And so I need to take that good and I need to just throw out the bad because I know I'm strong. And that, you know, that takes work. That takes time for us to kind of build that knowledge and that strong held belief in Scripture and in God. So next question here is, how can studying Scripture help us build a personal relationship with God?
It's the whole Romans 10:17, you know, for faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so a faithful relationship, more than just belief, a faithful relationship builds a relationship with God. And it's compared to, and in God's word, he does it, not me. This isn't coming from me, but in Ephesians 5, for example, a marriage, a husband and a wife. You can't have a successful marriage relationship and not know your partner, you know. And in that same way, I can't have a successful relationship with God and not know him. And so reading Scripture, as we talked about earlier, it reveals his very nature. It reveals his love. And to know that somebody loves me that much, I mean, why would I not want to have a relationship with that person and do things for them as he's done for me? You know, but questions we ask, for example, if we're dating somebody and the relationship begins to grow, simple ones, you know, what's your favorite color? Where do you like to go eat? Where do you, you know, the little things. Because even in a relationship, the little things matter. We don't always have to go out big, but to know the little things is to know more about that person and more in-depth things about that person. And then when you see a certain look on their face or you see a certain action in their demeanor, you know what's going on and you know how to approach it, as opposed to, and this is what a lot of people do with Scripture, get offended by it, to understand and know that you're going to do better for them as they're trying to do good for you. And maybe you messed up a little bit and this is what's going on in this relationship. To know that without saying anything is that same relationship that we need to build with God. You know, as David said, I hide your Scripture in my heart that I might not sin against you. But how can I do that if I don't know him? And Scripture really reveals who God is and what he expects. And so therefore, our relationship can build on that if I'm the bride of Christ and he is the husband, in a sense, like Ephesians 5 talks about.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's, you know, like what you said kind of in the back half there, I think it's important for us to approach Scripture kind of with an open mind. And of course, we don't believe, you know, God, you know, says, hey, I want you to know this like directly, but maybe approaching mm-hmm. Scripture by saying, what is God wanting to teach me here? And so, you know, I was thinking, you know, I've been thinking lately, there's some Scriptures that, you know, perhaps we've known for a really long time and you know, and we've had it memorized and we know what it says. We can quote it and we can quote it in, you know, different translations even, you know, but maybe sometimes verses can open up not new meanings, but almost like a new meaning depending on the situation that we find ourselves in our lives. And they can kind of help us say, oh, man, that verse means a lot to me now because of perhaps what I'm going through or the position in my life that I'm in. And so I think approaching Scripture through the lens of God and not just me, because we can look at Scripture, we can read it and say, well, I want it to mean this, so I'm going to make it say whatever I want it to say. Instead, you know, we've got to have an open mind and an open heart to say, what is God saying here? Because what God is saying here is so much more important than what I think about it or that I want it to say. And I think often we can kind of run the danger of that, of kind of just saying, well, this is what I want it to say. This is what, you know, this is how I've always grown up, you know, what I've always thought it meant growing up. Instead, I think having that open mind and that open heart to saying, you know, what is God teaching me? What is God saying right now about this verse?
And you're right on that. You know, it depends on what position you're in and where you're at. Because, for example, the scripture we mentioned, Ephesians 5, speaks of Christ in the church in relation to a husband and a wife. Well, somebody who's single is on the outside looking in. You know, and yeah, they might know married people and they get what he's saying. But when you're actually married, you really get it. Because there's things that happen in a marriage relationship that people don't know. It happens in four walls, you know. And so to truly live it and to understand it, it hits you different, you know, than just to know it. So that relationship with God, to know that there's passages in there that speak of a relationship with God through scripture, tells us that, yeah, you can have a better relationship with God through scripture. And I think that's important. Like you said, wherever you're at in your life or what you're going through and things like that, it can say different things. Again, it doesn't change it. It doesn't change the truth and the message, but it changes how you receive it, where you're at in your life.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that also goes to show just how relevant and living scripture actually is. because I think that there is that thought, even though we may not say it out loud, but we may kind of have that thought of like, okay, well, this was written 2000 years ago. Okay. We're in 2024. I'm an American. This is real current stuff. That was, you know, maybe old stuff, but I mean, the Bible is still just as relevant and just as living as it is now than it was 2000 years ago. And I think that that's truly the beauty of scripture, is that, you know, it's always going to be relevant and applicable if we allow it to be. And I think sometimes, you know, maybe we may think that subconsciously. And so maybe we go to different people or we go to different resources and say, well, they may have, you know, maybe the modern take on it. But scripture is right there, and it's applicable, you know, in 2024, just as it was in, you know, AD 50.
Amen.
So, last question. We kind of talked about this a little bit at the beginning, but just kind of some practical ways that we can get better at studying scripture. What are some ways we can get better at studying scripture?
I think for this question, really the best answer that I could give is short-term goals. I mean, there's a lot of ways to get better at scripture, resources, tools. I mean, we talked about that earlier, but short-term goals, because if you go in to try to open up the Bible and see 66 books that I've got to study all at once and remember and know and read, you might lose sight. So, you know me, and so you know I love to eat. And so here's a very practical example of what I'm talking about. When you go to a buffet, if you hurry up to one meal or one food, you're not going to be able to taste the rest. So take your time and take little bites instead of trying to eat the whole thing. And you know, that may be a little funny or whatever, but here's the idea. If I'm going to go into Matthew, for example, as you mentioned earlier, you're studying, or Luke, I've got to take something from it each page of the Bible or each chapter or, you know, each subheading in a Bible like you have to read that to study it, to get something out of it and say, I got something out of it, you know, and then move on to the next. But if we try to read the whole thing at once and say, I've got to study the Bible, it can be very overwhelming because it is 66 books written over, you know, however many years by so many different people. You can't take all that in at once. And so just slow down, you know, just really just slow down and give yourself short-term goals, accomplish something, and then move to the next.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. And that's a really important reminder for us as we record this 6 days before Thanksgiving. Like, don't go all in on the mashed potatoes. You know, get a little bit of that green bean casserole and maybe some, you know, whatever else you got. I don't know why I said green bean casserole. I don't even like it. But I know some people out there do, and I respect those people, but you know, I don't like it. But anyway. Yeah, I think that that's really good. And I honestly haven't really thought about it like that, you know, just because I have felt that way. I've felt like, well, you know, Thanksgiving coming around, well, so is New Year's. I'm going to make this New Year's resolution to just, you know, go all in on the Bible. And yeah, that's a good thought, you know, that's good intentions. But what if I just said, I'm going to study, you know, this chapter real quick. And I'm just going to take it, you know, one day at a time, one scripture at a time. And I think really just being patient. I mean, God's patient with us. And I think he's going to see us saying, hey, you're studying my word. Good. I'm proud of you. That's good. You know, of course, reading the Bible in 6 months or seven, or whatever, that's good. But I think if we're just starting out, especially if we're new in our faith or relatively new, or, you know, we're maybe grown up in church, but we're really trying to get serious about the study aspect of it. Then I think, yeah, just taking it one verse, one scripture at a time, understanding, you know, context and kind of peeling back the layers of that is really important, for us. And, you know, another football example, you know, Coach White would say, you know, 1 week at a time. You don't look to the next. You don't look backwards. Well, with scripture, you can look backwards, but you can say, hey, this is what I'm going to study today. I'm going to focus on this. And I'm going to just really try to understand what God is saying here in this passage.
And I think you said the right word there is focus, because a lot of things can distract us, and even scripture can distract us in the sense that if I'm studying this and then I remember something that I heard in a sermon or in a class and I start flipping pages and I go back here and then, oh yeah, that, you know, we get all jumbled up. Just focus right here on what you're studying. And then the more you do that, the more everything will come together. You know, it's, another food example, I guess, but if, you know, if you're cooking something, you know, this one ingredient at a time, because if you go to too many, you might forget to put something in there. So, you know, just with that being said, just focus on one scripture. Nobody expects you to memorize the whole Bible in a week. So just take your time with it, you know, just take your time with it. Focus, short-term goals. I want to study more about, and just pick a word and say, okay, maybe I'm going to study this word and see how many times it's said in the Bible, or I want to study this topic, or I want to study this person. You know, I want to learn more about Paul, so I want to go back to his life. And even that's where you might get those resources you were talking about earlier. You know, go find a book that's on the apostles, you know, or something like that, and learn more about him.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really good. Well, John, thanks for coming on the show. This was a really good conversation.
I appreciate you inviting me, Tyler. I love it.
Absolutely. Thanks for listening to another episode of Road Trips, Navigating Life with Jesus. This podcast is in partnership with Ministry League. You can download their app or check out their social media pages or YouTube channel to find all the great resources they have to offer. We'll be back next week with another episode of Road Trips.